Kelly Westland joins us, candidate for state senate up in Northwest Wisconsin, who had earlier requested the Parks and Rec theme, and then Tom Petty as well. The things that lighten the load. Why Parks and Rec? What, just a favorite show, or did you relate to, a particular character, perhaps?
Well, I mean, you know, it came out and was really popular when I was serving on city council, and it just hit home so hard in so many delightful ways and sometimes infuriating ways. But it's one of those, if you can't laugh, you got to cry. And, it hit me right in the feels. I love that show.
See, you got that. You got a nice, fun show, whereas I will forever be saddled as Ron Burgundy. But what can I say? I have many leather-bound books, in my library here. It's just
kind of a big deal.
I am kind of a big deal. That my staff in the Capitol really wanted to put on a coffee mug for me. So, and in fact, I have one that I'm gonna play show and tell later on. Kelly is running in the 25th district across Northwest Wisconsin, and obviously, as in talking to Jeff Smith the last hour, there's a lot we can talk about in terms of priorities. We tend to have a feel for what those are, and we'll certainly get into them. It is worth noting that your Republican opponent this time around is former Republican Assembly Rep Romaine Quinn, who, if you look to see what, did he show leadership in this area or that area, I think it'd be fair to say, based on looking at conservation voters of Wisconsin and others, his leadership has been on fighting efforts to protect the natural resources that are so important to the Northwoods.
Yeah, and I think that is often an issue of local control as well. There are folks that I talked with in Washburn County, especially, who had done a lot of just citizen-led work to write a pretty comprehensive shoreline zoning ordinance. And there are lots of examples where Mr. Quinn has instead done the work to roll those protections back and make what should have been the floor of state-level protection become the ceiling. So if you want to do a little more above and beyond in your own community, you're out of luck.
Well, you're in an area where you have the Enbridge pipeline project that's being talked about. You just have the, mining proposals tend to come up, things that would really have a potential huge threat to the Bad River area and other parts. And whether it's Quinn in your part of the woods or Tom Tiffany when he was in the legislature and then Congress from the area, it sometimes astounds me the way that people will sell out their own natural resources for a quick buck.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's there are, again, some of these cases where it's pretty apparent to see the pay to play politics that happen when there's a donor that wants to build right down to the waterfront or who wants to, do some things that the neighbors are not really super excited about. And that's obviously, a problem.
Well, and so let's turn this back around then, because obviously there's a lot of people would want to push back and say, what's wrong with, fighting for jobs and the economy and things. So, it's fair to ask whether it's Kelly Westland or any other Democrat, what's the alternative to having, a mine or, unrestricted development in an area?
Sure. Well, I think that first of all, it's a false dichotomy, right? You don't have to do this jobs versus the environment. It's not an either or, especially as we're moving forward now with the historic investments in things like clean energy and addressing climate change. There are a lot of opportunities to transition folks to good paying jobs that promote sustainability and help protect the environment. And, oftentimes when these big extraction industries come into areas like this, whether it's mining or oil companies or a CAFE, well, a CAFE is less extractive, but it's more polluting. All of those things have, serious long-lasting negative impacts on the community and the environment and the short-term gain, So they're externalizing a lot of the problems to the people that live here that maybe want the jobs now, but don't need to be cleaning up the mess a decade, down the line.
Kelly Westland joins us now, state Senate candidate up in the northwestern part of the state, who I fear is under some kind of threat. We had Kia Vakil on a couple of weeks back, and his cat was going on a rampage at that point, and I was fearful for him.
So, did you know that's what was happening right behind my laptop? Of course,
I had a sense that there was, and I think in the Zoom era, in the pandemic Zoom era, mm-hmm. almost most of the time, unless you see a toddler or something, you can usually assume if it is a cat. If there's something that threatens to throw an interview into chaos. It is usually that. I think cats are just anti-Zoom. That's all I can figure.
So sorry. It's like they know as soon as I'm talking to another human who isn't physically present, that's the time to be disruptive.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's totally the thing.
I'm going to boot him real quick.
No, you go right ahead. I think that it's long past time that we just have an interview subject just up and walk out because that cat needs to go.
I'm so sorry. There you go.
Again, totally good with it. As I pointed out last week on National Dog Day, team dog over here. So any chance I have to pick on cats, I'm going to completely do it.
I love pet dogs too. Actually, those are usually the more problematic ones. They'll bark at the stranger's voice in the house.
Oh, yes, that's true. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking dogs off the hook for anything like this at all. As we were talking about the economy and how you create jobs and such, it certainly does take me back to the fact that Governor Evers last week released a plan for the $5 billion state budget surplus that's out there, you know, thanks to his stewardship more so than anything the legislature's done because they haven't met. When you looked at that plan and anything else that you might have been proposing, what kinds of things jump out as being especially helpful to your part of the state?
So, I mean, up here, I've been talking to a lot of folks, mostly about infrastructure investment, fully funding our public education system, making sure that we can update our wastewater treatment systems, as well as getting rid of lead pipes, that sort of thing. This stuff matters. And we have all of these rural communities. The Badger Bounce Back Program has been fantastic for our local businesses and our main streets, just because these kinds of investments don't come along very often, but we don't have a lot of options outside of, you know, these sorts of funding mechanisms unless people get really, really creative. And there's a lot of competition, right? So when we have these entrepreneurs that are able to fill an empty storefront and to build a new business and hire local people, that is really having, a larger impact in a lot of ways in places like this. We've also seen a lot more young people and women, folks of color that are opening new businesses up in Northern Wisconsin, which is really, really encouraging because the old model of like attraction and retention, trying to get big box stores or I don't know, Foxconns or whatever to show up and like solve your problems. That's not how we're going to address the real issues facing our communities. So this kind of supporting local people to build really important and innovative things in unexpected places is just a great step forward. And I'm really appreciative of all the work that Governor Evers has been doing. And you're right, despite the lack of legislative support. So,
well, it seems to me that what you get through, whether it's Foxconn or a great big mine or something, is this Hail Mary or swing for the fences approach rather than the things that happen one at a time, usually locally based, on main streets everywhere that are going to grow an economy more so than any one big project. And for putting themselves out as the party, you know, that's friendly to business, I guess I'm still a little surprised that is still the Republican approach, is to try to go for one big thing instead of supporting a lot of local things.
Sure. And that's, I mean, I know that the Bucks development wasn't something that's necessarily local to us, but it's something that is tangible, that is here today, that is employing people with good wages. And, you know, the guy that I'm running against, he voted in favor of Foxconn and against the funding for the Bucks stadium, which, you know, again, up here is not necessarily like the most popular thing in the world, but it's actually helping people in Wisconsin right now, unlike Foxconn, right? But we also have an economy here that's built in large part on tourism, on agriculture, on local food. And there are some folks that have been doing some really, really innovative things up here to make sure that we're building a stronger local food system that pays farmers, you know, family supporting wages, which is not something that's happening everywhere.
I think it's important to note too, with the state support for building Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, a lot of Democrats did support that. They caught a lot of heat, but they understood the dividends that it was going to pay, not just in the Milwaukee area, but that it paved the way for legislative support for similar projects, obviously on a smaller scale, but similar projects in hometowns all around the state. You see the Pablo Center in Eau Claire is a great example of that. That again, you know, these things, when you can create a big public space like in Wausau, for example, you're again growing your hometown economy, you know, by the roots rather than trying to transplant something big.
Right. right. Well, how do you convince somebody else to want to invest in your community if you're not willing to invest in it yourself? You want to have a good quality of life for the people that live there if you're going to attract more people. I mean, why would people want to move to a community that has crumbling infrastructure, nothing to do, no public space? You know, they've got to have things to do for especially young families and young professionals and well, for everybody, things that aren't cost prohibitive, things that are accessible.
Well, and that takes me to a story that we did a couple of weeks ago at Up North News about Boulder Junction and how this little community basically, you know, took the bull by the horns and said, we're going to be more aggressive about finding the types of funding and partners. And in doing so, and they were doing this before the pandemic, but certainly it was reaffirmed during that, is that if you're not growing, if you're not doing the things to grow your economy, you're dying. And they're now attracting people who can work from home without having to live in Milwaukee or Chicago or what have you. What is your hope as a legislator to help accelerate broadband development throughout Northwest Wisconsin?
Sure. I think that there are some really, again, innovative sorts of approaches that people are taking. I know that there have been several that have put at least like the base fiber, you know, loop within their given municipality, their town or their city. And that's something that if private partners want to come in and extend the reach of that, they're more than welcome to. But at the same time, they're giving a really solid base of access to the people that live there that want to build off of it. And I think of an example out of Spooner that I learned about when I was still working for Tammy, Mayana Chocolates. They were based in a brick and mortar shop in Chicago. And the story that they told was that basically when they, she was from, it's a married couple, and she was from the Spooner area and wanted to move back home. And when they uprooted their very successful chocolate business in Chicago to come back to Spooner, you know, there's this question of like, are we going to be able to still maintain, you know, the level of income? And with adequate internet access at the incubator there in Spooner, they were able to build their business to be a little more web-based. So instead of a brick and mortar shop in Chicago, it became a global option for people. And it's really good chocolate. So I don't know if you've ever run into it in a shop somewhere in Northwestern Wisconsin, but it's one of those things that opens so many avenues to economic opportunity. And it's not just that. It's also, you know, medical care, it's emergency responders, it's school, it's education. It's so important. It's a critical utility that I would personally love to see expanded, kind of akin to the rural electrification programs. You know, I think this is something that is now, you know, so important that everybody needs access.
We've only got a couple of seconds left, so it's not fair, but I'll just ask it very quickly. But certainly the Dobbs decision, do you feel that that's not just going to be a motivating factor for women, but for people who are independents, self-styled independent voters, men and women who are going to take on this issue as a step too far?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm hearing at the doors every single day. So between that and just overreach in general and protecting the future of our democracy, people are really concerned, and I think they're going to show up.
That whole thing about protecting democracy keeps coming up. It's like it's like it's an important thing or something like that. Kelly Westland, always a pleasure. It's so great to see you. Good luck with everything and stay in touch.
Yeah, thanks. Nice to see you too. Take care.
Well, and good luck with the cat. What's the cat's name?
Oh, well, that one was Olaf, but he's always a troublemaker. He's fine.
Good job, Olaf. Way to go. You're famous now for all the wrong reasons. Thanks, Kelly. Talk to you later.
Take care.
We will be back after this. You're up north.